This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Cool. All right. Thank you for joining us today, everyone, and all of our followers and listeners. I'm Lamar with 5280 Esports, and you are listening to the Behind the Game podcast. I am here with the Salty Robot. It's a little bit of a different interview. It's not my normal esports or gaming guest, but it's a really fun and exciting guest that I wanted to have on here for a while. He goes by the Salty Robot. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Lamar.
Yeah, thank you. Well, if you want to give me a little intro about yourself, let everyone know who you are, kind of what your brand is, what you're working on, a little intro for everyone that's listening.
Cool. Thanks, man. Yeah, I go by the Salty Robot on Instagram. My name's Devin. I've been in the arts and design space most of my life. The Salty Robot came about when the pandemic hit, and I was like, oh, let's see what's going on Instagram. I always wanted a scale model. And so, it's kind of an homage to, there was a account in the early 2000s called the Salty Pelican that was in the advertising space that just kind of highlighted everything. Anyways, I digress. Devin, the Salty Robot, do modeling. You brought me on to talk, I think, about the Cerulean Project, which has been near and dear to my heart around mental health. Involving scale modeling, the miniatures and things like that, scratch building. It's really expanding. I just look at it as, people call it a hobby, I'd call it art. Like, there's just, so it's fun to kind of have a project around that that's really geared towards raising awareness around mental health and changing the conversation around mental health and addressing it and providing information and resources. So that's kind of my whole spiel. Been doing it for, I could talk for a while, but I'll let you get back to asking the question. But skill modeler, Salty Robot.
Thank you for coming on. I've been wanting to have you on for a while, so I appreciate it. I found you on Instagram. I don't remember how I came across your profile, but I'm a big Gundam fan. I like mech designs. I think I saw some of your artwork. What really attracted me was the Cerulean Project that you're working on. Just kind of for everyone listening, do you want to let them know kind of what that is?
So it was something that I started also in 2020, because as we all isolated, I felt real loss of community, real, like, you know, sense of aloneness and everybody else. And I've dealt with mental health all of my life. Really in the last 10 years, really diving into it. So I knew a lot of people, if I was struggling, a lot of other people were struggling. And I saw that this space of modelers was really, like, they're really welcoming. I used to be a painter and a photographer, and through my own self-criticism, I stopped doing that. And I lost a lot of passion doing design full-time. Kind of sucks you dry for pursuing your extracurricular activities. So I wanted an easy way to get back into art, and that was through modeling. And so I saw this community, there was a potential to give back and to connect everybody and to give them essentially what I would want myself if I was struggling and didn't know where to go, is a little bit of a celebration, some recognition, and resources around it. So really, the Cerulean Project is designed to showcase artwork each year from a group of individuals. And over the course of 12 weeks, we discuss mental health topics. And we've now started including, like, a informational topic. This last year we did photography. Before that we did color theory. So it's the core of it's mental health. So each year we touch on a bunch of different subjects for 8 weeks. This last year was around the wheel of wellness. So trying to create something that was more actionable and less clinical. You'll find some of the people have given me feedback that the books can be very clinical in the information that we give. But mental health is so unique to each individual. It's hard for me to pare down as much information as out there so that it is accessible by as many people as possible. Because that's the goal of the Cerulean Project, is to change the narrative around mental health, provide people the information around mental health, whether they're struggling or they know somebody who is, or just dealing, not even struggling, just dealing with mental health issues from day-to-day stresses to genetics. And then we put together a magazine and a book at the end of the year to kind of celebrate everybody. The whole thing revolves around a color, so it's a unifying thing, but I try to leave it as open as possible so that people can either just enter something that's simple and straightforward, or they can enter something that really speaks to them, like they want to say something that year with it, because the artists within the book will get an opportunity to talk about the project. So that's kind of the project.
That's awesome.
That's a brilliant project. I wanted to take stuff offline. You as a photographer, right? You know what it's like to look at print versus on screen.
Totally, and
the impact that makes. Like, were you ever published as a photographer?
Yes, actually I was.
Yeah. So you see that, right? And you're just like, oh my God, that's my picture. That's the feeling that I wanted to give everybody, was that along with all of this empowering and mental health information, that one kick that you could kind of look forward to, that was just like, that's cool. Like, I got to be part of something. I did something myself, but I also got to be part of something where everybody else, like, really, you can tell they really tried to do something, right? Like, it meant something to them because of that feeling that you create of like, oh wow, like I can take this offline and show it to a friend. I can, you know, it's mine. Like, it's tangible.
Yeah.
It's tangible art, which
yeah.
I think in a digital world that we live in, because you saw me on Instagram, right? Like, you don't, versus seeing somebody in a gallery, it changes. And so coming from a traditional art background, I wanted to try and introduce some of that into just this digital age that we are in and how people are viewing art.
Yeah, that's amazing. Do you have the magazine by chance with you?
Yeah, I have the new one. I have an old one. Let me grab one real quick.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love the artwork. I think if everyone that's about to watch, like, the magazine itself has artwork from different artists in it, and it's amazing. It's so fun to look through if you're into any like gaming, anime, mech, and it's really cool artwork. He'll show you here in a second. But you guys should order them. I think are they still for sale?
There is some still for sale. Yeah, we went with a little less stock this year just because I have overage from last year. So if anybody wants last year's magazines, we still have a few of those, and they're at discounted price. There was 135 artists last year. There was 145 this year. So it's still almost 300 pieces of art in two magazines, which is really fun. The front I try to use. So we get volunteers over the years, and some of them will art. And this artist who entered this is from Chile. He was one of the volunteer artists this year. So on the magazine, I always try to feature a volunteer's art. Again, it's... I want people to feel all of these arts, all of these tracings that have happened. These are all from the prior year models. So I use that as like the next year's promotional artwork, but it's also a way again to recapsulate some of like what people have done and continue to kind of keep feeding it as a community effort. And like that, this didn't happen just because of me. Like, this is everybody who partakes in this, which is really cool to see.
So that magazine, that's the Cerulean Project, for everyone that's seen, watching. That project itself is where you've reached out to artists, right, to create art for you for this magazine that helps promote mental health, basically, right?
Yeah. So the first year I reached out to some. So the first year, yeah, getting it started, I honestly didn't think anybody would care. People were doing contests and things like that in this space. Like, that's really big. And so I reached out to a couple artists that I really admired and asked them if they'd be a part of it. They of course joined, and then I just promoted it. And we had about 30 people the first year. And then the second year it jumped to 90 people. And then last year it jumped to 135. And so it's just been this, people see it and they're really inspired by it and they want to be a part of it, or like the amount of messages that I get pertaining to people's mental health and like what this had done for it is, it's really amazing that people have shared such personal things with me, but it's also been very apparent how needed resources and discussions around mental health are.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's totally, I think it's maybe now starting to get a little more traction, but it, in the past it's totally been something that's taboo, I feel like.
Yeah, the newer generations are really open to it. I would say the hardest thing for people is accessibility, financially or time-wise. Can be really difficult for people. It can be very expensive to seek professional therapy or other medical services, and then time. So they're both very crucial. I think you have to, like, as somebody who I just saw my therapist today. It's really important to try and make that time when you can, or just find ways to access it through, people do sliding scales. It's asking questions, right? And I think if we can provide an environment where people can ask questions and be like, hey, dude, I'm struggling with this thing. What should I do? And people are like, at least hopefully somebody in the room is like, oh shit, you know what? I saw this thing. We should, you know, do this. Or like, I did it myself, because, you know, mental health can come down to 1 in 3, 1 in 4, 1 in 8, like depending on what people are struggling with. A lot of people can struggle with mental health.
Yeah, I think and a lot of people don't have the support system to reach out for the help or to accept that they need that help sometimes, just from the stigma.
Yeah, there's a huge stigma. There's a massive stigma around it. So that was really, again, you know, that was some of like the initial like vernacular that was used. So I come from a long design career, advertising in San Francisco and stuff like that. So I'll refer to a lot of things in a very, for lack of better terms, a very boardroom or pitch approach. So forgive me if I ever sound like that. But I lost track.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah. Anyways, the mental health aspect of it is really, again, trying to give, that's like the reason, one of the big reasons I wanted to print the book too, is so that people had that stuff that they could refer back to.
Yeah. That's what I was going to, you know, move on to, was you come up with that Cerulean Project idea and you decide to make a magazine out of it. And was that because of your, what was the inspiration for a magazine in particular as that media form?
So it's funny. So first year I had 20 people. I think I said if I get 20 people to participate, I'll print a book. And at the time there was a very few print on demand companies. I was doing everything print on demand. So all of our merchandise and stuff like that is print on demand. So it's produced close to wherever the person orders it from to cut down on carbon emissions, all that things. Anyways, if I got 20 people, I'd do a book. Well, I got 30. So I'm like, okay, we'll do a book. And I partnered with True Gumpla, this guy who was doing, some Holy Mountain printing, things like that. He was doing some publications, some magazines, and he was like, let's print this too. So we printed it and sent it to a bunch of Patreons, and everybody loved it. And everybody was really excited to be a part of it that wasn't, or that if they were, they couldn't wait for the next year. They're like, what's the next color going to be? And so the book was a way to, again, the inspiration behind the book was, one, it's a toolkit. It provides mental health information or things around exercise, diet, just whatever it does. Again, it pertains to us. And we can, well, this will be a full circle when we get to this year. But again, the other aspect of it was to put people in print and to give them that satisfaction of being in print, of having that feeling of, again, sharing it. The number of people who are like, I took this home for Christmas, or I'm able to show this to friends, or I'm able to pick it up. Again, print is so much different than what we look at on our computer screens or what we look at on our device. It just, it's tactile. We feel it. And that was what I wanted, is I wanted this experience to extend past the, it's not, it's a one quick, it's a one click world. And we said that a long time ago in advertising. That was 20 years ago. It's like one click, it doesn't work. People move on. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that when it comes to how we consume digital art these days. Mm-hmm. We just consume so much. The brain never gets a chance to rest. And so having this book to take offline and to enjoy your art and others' art is really about helping, again, like lifting the community up, being like, look at what we all did together. Mm-hmm. And so with the book, when the book stuck, I was like, hey, we're producing the book every year. The magazine came about last year when, so I keep the books cost effective because I want them again to be accessible. The information is the key to that. Shipping prices can be expensive, things like that. So the books have to be a fixed number of pages to keep that price. As we add pages to the book, it gets more and more expensive. So the magazine became the next thing. So then I could basically print, everybody who was part of the project that year would get in print. They wouldn't have a full page spread like they do in the book. The book has three pictures. You can talk about your project in there. It's a feature. 100 artists get a feature in the book. Everybody's in the magazine. And so that's kind of like the fun of having the two of them. So we do a bundle that gets sold as a bundle. And then all of our profit is donated at the end of the year. Oh, wow. So whether it's through soft goods, hard goods, all of the profit gets donated to the Trevor Project. We've been doing that for the last 4 years. We've been looking at some other organizations to donate to just based on how much money we raise and stuff like that. But that's what all the sales go to. So everybody gets to be amazing. A part of that. Again, it's this notion that as a community, we create something together. It's our community garden. And community gardens have shown through scientific research and studies and stuff to be super beneficial when it comes to one's mental health and the community's mental health. Those people that are around them, the people they interact with on a daily basis. They can have a community garden that they tend together. It seems to foster a lot better mental health for everyone involved. So that's kind of the book, as a community garden.
Wow. That's awesome. That's great. Well, thank you for doing that. That's amazing. Well, Dave, so before the Salty Robot, leading up to you starting this project and being aware of everything that's going on, I guess give a little background for everyone. What led up to that? Did you ever think you would be working in some project like this where you're, you know, creating products that, you know, give people resources for mental health? I guess what's kind of like the background leading up to this?
The background leading up to this is really utilizing, I wanted to volunteer, knowing where I was at with my own mental struggles, things like that, going to like a soup kitchen or something that was in person. Well, it was also COVID, but even if it wasn't, being surrounded by having a lot of personal interaction was very difficult for me at the time, like face-to-face interaction. So I needed to do something that I could do somewhat isolated. Thanks to COVID, it was completely isolated. But people sometimes ask what to do to volunteer. Like, how do I volunteer? And one of the things that they'll tell you is look to your strengths and see if, like, try and utilize your place, position, something in life to help. So if it's monetarily, if it's time-wise, if it's a trade, things like that, that's where you can really excel in both helping from volunteer aspect, but also mental health. So I wanted to leverage my years in design, selling jeans and video games and cars and all this shit that we don't need. But loved it and was really good at it and really loved design. And so I wanted to do something that was really beautifully designed, and very simple and straightforward. So that's kind of where I leveraged, or like my background leading up to that. Sure. I designed, like I think I said earlier on, advertising in San Francisco for 10 years and ran my own design shop and have been designing even since I was in high school and selling shirts and making shirts and things like that. So creating a kind of a clothing line that people, again, being a part of something, right? So it's not just like, oh, I really like this brand. Like, it's Nike, right? It's somebody's artwork that you probably know or your own. And it's part of this series, this ongoing series, this yearly event that happens where everybody's kind of celebrated as an individual and as this group, and you get to be a part of this collective, which is kind of the bigger picture.
Yeah. So with every year it growing more with more artists, are you reaching out to more, or is the branding just getting a little bit more recognition? Do people reach out?
People are just more interested. Yeah. People are just more interested. I just run it through an Instagram account. We have a website. But yeah, it's just Instagram and people just see it. People see the books. People buy the books all year. We sold out of last year's books. We've sold out of the year. We sell out of all. I do 100 copies. This year I did less, selfishly, I will admit, just because I need to take some time for myself. And mailing out 200, I think last year I mailed out 235 books and magazines. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And energy. So, most of them, we have a pre-order. Most of the pre-orders have already sold out. Wow. And then again, I don't personally ship any of the soft goods. That's all locally sourced, and that works out great. We don't make as much to donate from it. It'd be a lot better if I could like have 50 sweatshirts sitting in the back selling them. But I have to also be really considerate of how much money people have. Like, they might just want to be a part of it, but not actually buy anything. And that's totally fine. Like, it's not about that. The charity aspect of it is the byproduct of selling something that somebody wants, right? Like, oh, I really want that. Like, I'd love to have, what if we made that a book, right? And you're like, oh shit, I should make that a book. It would sell really well. Like, we would make money. I would make money. Something. And you're like, okay, so then what do I do with the money if this is a volunteer effort? And so that's really where it's been, this like balance of something affordable, but also something where at the end of the year, again, 135 people, or again, say that even just the people who bought something, right? But I would argue against that. I would say it's everybody, because everybody's getting visibility or giving visibility to the project. So 135 people get to do something good at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And support a group that's marginalized, like support a group that's struggling with the highest rate of mental health and suicide issues. Like, it's just really about keeping it about mental health.
Yeah. So moving on to the designer, or the artist that come on board, is there like any sort of, I'm sure you give them creative freedom, but there is kind of an aesthetic to the whole project, right?
No. So the only guidelines to it are, and again, I want to keep it simple. So there's a yearly color. So you have to use the color in some form or fashion. It can be a little, it can be a lot. You have to complete the project between August 1st and November 1st. You can't enter anything that was completed weeks, days, hours prior, kind of thing. It's just, it's about being a part of something. It's 3 months is the build time that people have. So if you were to start it August 1st, you essentially have 3 months to make art, which for most of these people, it can be easy or it can be really tough. Life tends to flow. So we have a lot of people who drop out over the year and then they'll show back up the next year and stuff like that. So it really ebbs and flows. I try to move people up into the book when spaces open up, which has really been fun. So, and then lastly, they just don't be a dick. Like we don't, so this is about mental health, right? It should be really about my mental health and everybody else's mental health. And I think being a dick or being racist or bigoted or hateful in any way just isn't, you can't be a part of it. So
yeah,
it's a safe space for people to come and be who they want to be and say what they want to say, and not, there's no room for hate. So those are really the three conditions that we adhere to. And then each year the color changes. So we started out with blue and then it was purple. Last year was orange, this year is green. And the plan is to do the whole color spectrum. And then who knows? Maybe it'll restart. Awesome. Maybe the project will end. I'll do something else.
Yeah. Because what caught my eye about your designs and the book and all of the artists in there is it kind of, at least in my opinion, it had more of like that, I guess, Asian, Japanese feel, anime manga style. I don't know if that's something that just the artists that happen to be in those, you know, stylings, or is it like, you know, like the hat you're wearing, I think that's part of your brand, right?
Yeah. So since it was around modeling is inherently Japanese. Like it's very, so much of it was designed and produced and developed in Japan and in Asia. So really, you know, Gundam, anime, all that comes from Japan. So dead on, it's going to be, I'm going to really dive into that because there's a lot of great design. And it was a real homage to it kind of thing. Like, let's do this thing, this Cerulean Project. It's just this wild name too. So it's kind of like, let's take it a little bit further. Let's have this really kind of OG Japanese logo done for it. And then each year the logo changes. So we have the OG logo, but then each year we have a new logo. And so it's kind of, cause it's a new color. So there could be new volunteer art, which kind of changes it. There could be, depending on the art that I trace. So basically I don't take everybody's, cause some of the way the photography is shot makes it more difficult, but I'll take images and I'll trace them and turn them into a line drawing essentially. So then that is what will be leveraged to some of the following year's design assets.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's definitely so, anime, sci-fi, fantasy inspired art kind of thing. Like this year's logo is going to be very Berserker.
Cool.
It's a red year, so it seems very fitting, or very like Kurosawa. Like it's gonna be cool.
Yeah. So how'd you come up with the name Cerulean? I'm sure that's from something.
So that was kind of a natural evolution when I was developing the project. And so it started out kind of as like the blue weather build. And it was around this idea that this thing that happens called seasonal affective disorder, seasonal affective depression. The blue series, the blue years. So I was starting to like kind of brand it and develop it. I was like the blue weather build. And then I found this really beautiful color as I was inspired, and it was one of the cerulean tones. There's a main cerulean tone, but there's actually two cerulean blues. And this was the latter. And I was like, oh, cerulean's such a great name. And this was always a project for me. I didn't think that this was going to go more than another year. This was just one thing that I was going to do for the year, try and help some people. If it worked, great. If it didn't, there's something cool at the end of it. Like, I know I put something good out there. It just kind of went nuts. So people really like it. There's been a lot of, when we go back to like the logo and the Japanese influence or the Asian influence, people really like it. I worked with some translators to make sure that the logo was correct.
good idea.
That the spelling was correct, that the characters were correct and stuff like that. Those are the last thing that I wanted to happen. But I was like, I'm going to do this and this is what's going to happen. Like, because I really, again, it was important to me to like really pay tribute to so many of the amazing Japanese builders, Asian mm-hmm. builders that are out there that really inspire the West for the most part.
Yeah.
Everybody looks.
And that's been hot lately. Everyone's loving that design and that aesthetic. Yeah, you know, yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's cool. So
that's what caught my eye. I mean, that's what I've been into. I'm super nostalgic for that retro anime feel and like the Gundam stuff and the mech. And I see the display behind you. You have an amazing, beautiful display of all your builds there, which I don't know if people are familiar with what would you say, mech builds or figure builds?
So model building is a pretty big genre. So there's like your typical hot like modeling, which is like war, right? An automobile kind of thing, mm-hmm. tanks, planes, stuff like that. Your historian kind of modeler. And then there's mecha build, which primarily comes from Gundam. That's what was brought over. There's mm-hmm. a lot of other stuff though. Like, so there's like Space Runaway Ideon, there's Dorvac, there's Make. So when you talk about mecha, it's really kind of this larger sci-fi. If you talk about Gundam, then that itself I've found is a huge swath. It's its own animal when it really mm-hmm. comes down to it. They have so many properties and stories and everybody feels a certain way about a certain opposition or robot and things like that. And so Gunpla and Mecha, Gunpla falls into Mecha, mm-hmm. I would say. Because like Robotech's Mecha, right? Palabor, mm-hmm. Ghost in the Shell, all of those that have Mecha in them. So that's really, I don't know. I know nothing about Gundam for the most part. I've barely watched any Gundam. But I come from an old school, like I grew up in the 80s. I saw Akira in 92 when I was 12 years old and it changed my life. I was just like, oh shit. Yeah. I saw it on the big screen at this tiny like indie theater in Utah and it just blew my mind. And so that led me down like, this year's entry is Madox for me. It's MADOX, which is an anime mm-hmm. from the 80s. Highly recommend. Have you seen it?
No, I've been getting through my 90s animes though lately.
Okay.
Working yeah. on them. The big list.
It's on YouTube, so you can go just check it out. But Madox, Metal Skin Panic was like another one that I saw when I was like 12 years old. And finally they came mm-hmm. out with a model for it. So for me, it's more nostalgia. There's some amazing mm-hmm. Gunpla builders out there, but there's also some amazing like hobby modelers that just make planes and helicopters and tanks. Yeah. So the project started out just as like mecha. It's like, okay, it's gotta be mecha. Mm-hmm. First year, even in like a lot of the branding and stuff, I was like, it has to be a mecha build. Mm-hmm. But then I realized it excluded so many miniature people and just other types of modelers and stuff. Maybe people who are moving from modeling to painting busts, like large, like resin busts of warriors or orcs or famous figures or whatever it is, like whatever mm. that they were enjoying that kind of came from this modeling space. So each year, I think year two is mecha monsters and motors, I said. So then it was like, if it fell into one of those categories, then you could enter it, which I felt in my mind kind of opened it all the way up.
Yeah.
But last year we just opened it up. It was like anything that has red, you know, has the color and you do within this timeline, it's awesome. And then this year we did a whole photography guide because for a lot of these people, they've never been in print. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea, like print was like my bread and butter in design. And it's for me, what's really simple is really difficult for a lot of people. So we did this whole photography guide this year to help people with their photography now, but also in the future, just take better photography of their builds or their entries for a contest, for the Cerulean Project, for their own social media, whatever it is, maybe for another book or a magazine. But that's why we really wanted to help it, again, elevate everybody. And I think that really showed through this year, where a lot of people who have vocally said that they struggle with photography, it really helped everybody. At least a lot of people who told me said it helped them this year.
Yeah. 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 So a lot of the artists you get are builders, right? Or model builders.
Yeah. I'd say mainly model builders.
Okay. And then, you help them take pictures of it. And then you also create, you have them take it, right?
They take their own pictures. Yep. But yeah, we did a guide. Yeah.
Yeah, and then so then they submit it to you, and then from mm-hmm. there, do you either feature the build itself or you create art from that build?
What do you mean?
Or so like you know how you do the line drawing?
Yeah.
So that would be, are you pulling that from where are you pulling
from their picture? Yep.
From mm-hmm. their pictures. Okay, yep. That's right.
From their entry picture. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a super cool idea or a super cool like process that you have, you know, to combine both artists to create new art. I think that's great.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
It's really cool.
I think it's really cool too. Like I try to really think of this thing as like what I would be excited by participating mm-hmm. as an artist. Not like as yeah. like the organizer comes like second, but like I want to mm-hmm. participate from it from a standpoint of like if I was just a part of this thing. And so I think that mm-hmm. having something like that where, oh wow, like again, my art or somebody else's art that I know, look, it like turned into the next year's art. I think is a really yeah. fun thing for.
It's a really great way to collaborate with them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's that or like a really nice nod. And then again, like having the volunteer artists has been really fun too. Like people who want to mm-hmm. contribute stuff. They're like, hey, like, can I make something? Would you put it on a shirt? Like, yeah. Send it to me. I'll put it on a shirt. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, like, yeah, it's just volunteer. Like I can't pay you because all the money we make gets donated. And so it has to be a volunteer effort. This last year, I finally allowed I allowed volunteers. My wife begged me, friends had begged me, so we brought on a team mm-hmm. this last year. So we actually had somebody help me lay out parts of the book, and then again help people with photography. A lot of people, even though we did the photography guide, will still need help afterwards, whether mm-hmm. editing the photo or submitting the wrong one or things like that, maybe like different lighting. Because I'll usually try and show people proofs and things like that if I can and work mm-hmm. with them because I want them to be really happy with it at the end of it. I don't want them to create this thing and undertake this task and then it gets printed and they're like, oh shit, I didn't notice. Like, I didn't see that. Like, so we really try to work with a lot of the artists and helping them, again, get to this world of print that mm-hmm. it's a dying world. Print is definitely dying. Yeah. So I want to keep it alive the best I can. It's kind of like Polaroids, records. Again, it's
well, like I said in the beginning,
media that I own.
Yeah, it's a great experience, different than what you'll ever get on a screen. But for everyone listening, you can check out the Salty Robot Instagram. That's where you'll have all of the Cerulean Project art on, I'm assuming the website.
No, so the Salty Robot is my own personal account. I ran it from my personal account for the first mm-hmm. 2 years. And then last year, the end of last year, I switched over to the Cerulean Project just on
Instagram. Okay, so everyone can follow you and find out more about the project. And I'm assuming they can reach out to you if they're artists or if they're in the space that want to contribute.
Yep, they can message me directly. They can message me on Instagram. They can message me through the website. We have a registration form that'll open on the website on April 1st for this year's project. Mm-hmm. So everybody will move. Everybody who's participated in last year will be notified that they get early registration. Mm-hmm. And then we open up to the general public. So then through April 1st through September 1st, you can mm-hmm. register and become a part of the project, and then we close it after September 1st just so we kind of know how many people we can plan for.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, everyone listening, go check it out. It's an awesome project. I love the art.
Thecerulianproject.com. Each year's, if you do really like the art and want a sweatshirt, we take everything down August 1st and then rebuild it that year. So
everything that you've had on there gets removed and then new stuff in replacement. Oh, wow.
Yep.
So it's like limited edition runs then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just limited edition runs. And then I usually try and do like weekly drops, bi-weekly drops, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Cause there's so much art. I think I ended up with, mm-hmm. Like 43 different line art.
Wow.
Or pieces of line art this year to use.
Yeah.
And I think like, 9 of those were volunteer pieces. 10 of those were volunteer pieces. So there's so much art just to put. And I try to make something for everybody because somebody might mm-hmm. not want another t-shirt. They might not want another hat, but they do want another mug or they want another mouse pad or what. So I try to use the whole print on demand ability to really create a lot of product. So then people can kind of get whatever they want. But yeah, and it's also fun to have it be limited.
Yeah, those will also be phased out and everything gets phased out. Yep. Oh, wow. Cool.
Yep. It just starts August 1st. I load it up for those 3 months and then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
So where are you based out of right now?
Right now I'm out of Montana.
Oh, cool. Oh, so that's not very far. Colorado.
Yeah. Nice.
Colorado. Yeah. What was I going to move on to next? I lost my train of thought.
you're all good, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the, I know you've talked a little bit about the projects that are coming up. What is kind of, I guess, down the horizon for the rest, rest of the year? I know you have the next Cerulean project coming out. Is there any kind of, I know you're going through the colors and you're going through different projects. What is kind of, do you ever have an end goal or do you have anything that you feel like you need to reach or that you're looking for or kind of the, I guess, as far as the Cerulean project?
The end goal from a design standpoint is to have a nice volume, a nice rainbow volume that ends in a black and white book. That'll probably start on one end, black on the other and meet in the middle. They'll like start upside down or like back and forth. I don't know. We'll see about that because that will probably get really difficult for me to edit from a design perspective because people will probably use black and white. So, but I want to just have a black and white year. I think that would be really fun to close it off. After that, that's basically this year's red, next year's yellow, and then the year after that's black and white. So 3 years. Honestly, I don't know what it'll be after that.
Yeah.
It may keep going. We'll see. Like, it may reset. It may change. I want to do in-person art shows at some point. There's a big West Coast modeling get together around Gumpla and Mecca in Southern California that happens. And I've always wanted to do a gallery showing. Cause again, I come from, so I used to do gallery showings in San Francisco. And there's again, it's real fun to be a part of something like that, where you're in a shared gallery with people and it's a night and people are coming to see everyone's art. And there's just this energy around it and it's really fun. And so I've always, again, wanted to give that experience to people who this hobby is very isolating. It just is. You can't really do it in groups. And I think that's where the ability where the online community is so strong is because a lot of these people just kind of do it, you know, when they get a few hours a night or something like that. But then all kind of come online and the meetups in person, I know are really big, but they're in like the East Coast and Southern California, Central Midwest, stuff like that. Like, and I don't know if I travel, man, I'm trying to go just camp or do something not around a lot of people. Since living in Montana. Yeah.
Well, Dave, right?
Devin.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I had Dave in my head, but Devin, anything else you wanted to let our listeners know, whether it's, the Cerulean Project, mental health, any kind of, things that you wanted to talk about before we start wrapping up?
No, I think really like we try to put up a bunch of the information on the website. So we make that all available. So you guys can always access that. We have a whole list of resources on there, like professional resources, links to that, both domestically and internationally. So there's that. There's a lot of good resources just online to search. No, this year's book was The Wheel of Wellness. I don't know what we're going to do this next year. If we're going to dive deeper into, very specific mental health. I'd love to explore neurodiversity and autism and more like spectrum related stuff, but there's so little information on it that makes it really difficult because we want it to be very factual to the point where we're reading peer reviewed papers and sharing that types of studies and other information. So mental health, just talk about it, man. If anybody you know, like ask questions, but don't pry. Like, and again, if you want to help somebody, just ask, just Google, how do I help somebody with? You'll get a list of stuff where it's like, take these steps, don't do this, do this kind of thing. Because it's huge. Like I suffer from stress-induced reflux, and the year COVID hit, PPIs, proton pump inhibitor usage increased 70%. Wow. It's a lot of stressed out people. It's a lot of stressed out people taking proton pump inhibitors. Because it wasn't just like poorly eating. Like everybody's mainly eating at home at that point. Like it was stress. So people might not be stressed. You might not feel like you're stressed, but just if you ever have questions about it, just ask, talk to somebody, find something that you feel, somebody you trust, and talk to them. Because, and keep an eye on people. Check in March, April, check in with people. March and April and September, October, check in with people. Yeah. Those are the blue months. Those are when people get sad. I get very sad those months. The light changing can really mess with people. So do that and just be compassionate.
Yeah. Well, great, great words of wisdom from you. Well, I appreciate you hopping on. I guess we'll go ahead and start wrapping up, but I think you do an amazing job with the way that you're promoting mental health and doing it in a way that I think connects with people and gets people interested and talking about it and wanting to be a part of. I definitely want to be a part of it. I'm probably going to go grab a hat and a hoodie soon now because I love the designs. So yeah, it's, I think it's a great cause that people can get behind. I think that's one of the biggest things is I hear a lot is, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can help. I don't know, you know, we're just one person or I'm small compared to the whole issue. And it's like, well, there are things you can do to help, whether that's being involved in projects like this or anything else, advocating for them, you know? So I think
there's lots of local projects. Job. In people's areas and stuff like that. If you want to volunteer, like you can look that up really easily. Like whether it's just like if you're in Colorado, you can just go do trail work kind of thing or, you know, so for people all over, like they might be, it might be cold or like, again, if you want to volunteer, just volunteer, you can make an impact. Like we doing something matters. Like you can make a difference. Small groups can make a difference. Like that's some of the steps that we just need to take just for ourselves. You know, we can start small ourselves, like working on our own selves. Like you can't just like fix it overnight. So everything just starts when we build momentum and get a voice around it and support who we can. And I think again, just really just being compassionate, like people are struggling. People are dealing with shit, like ease off, like go play some video games, chill out, do some meditation, like, smoke up, like whatever you got to do,
whatever you got to do.
Video games have been stressful for me though lately. I've been wishing I could play more.
Real quick before we start wrapping up, what's your top three video games that you play?
I play or that I've played?
We'll go. I'd have to go
played because all time. Dude, I'd have to say definitely Last of Us, either one or two, or just both, like as a thing, but definitely Last of Us.
Great series.
Just for where I was at and like the way they did it, it was just so well done. From just an entire game experience, not necessarily gameplay or this or that, like not one thing, but just an overall experience. Man, I'd have to say old school Battlefront 2. Like
great
I'm,
game
I'm an old kid, like I grew up in the 80s, so again, like that was good. So if we had to go more modern, I'd say Zelda.
Great game.
Breath of the Wild and Tears, they're both fantastic. Same game, it's just a continuation. Better graphics. And then third, I don't know, I'd have to either say like the Siphon Filter, like Rally, or like Siphon Filter 5 when it finished was just so good. Or I totally lost it again. They're just like old ones because I don't get to play a lot of the new Armored Core 6 is great. I'll put that, I'll just go with that because that really satisfied my itch as mecha nerd or sci-fi nerd. Like, and I grew up on like the old Armored Core, so finally getting one on a modern platform was fantastic.
Yeah, I've been meaning to play that. I grew up with it on PS2, and that was one of my favorite.
Right?
robot, like action games. It just was so good, dude. Customization and like the fighting. I loved it. And so I heard that the later ones weren't as good after like three. And then this one I heard is really good. So I need to hop on that game too.
Yeah, they changed some things and it was kind of frustrating, but this last one was just amazing. Super fun, super smooth, like really satisfying, hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard, but super satisfying. Oh, I was going to say like the Mass Effect series.
Those are good games.
That was really great. Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't get to play a lot list. Now. Oh,
I've played all those.
I got to knock Zelda out and just go with Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, that one might have been my game of the year last year. That one was amazing.
That was so good.
It's been a while since I picked up a game and it grabbed me like that. It's been a while with the gameplay, the story, the quality of everything, the acting, the story, like line, everything.
Yeah, because God of War was amazing too for all of that. But Ghost was just
felt so new and refreshing.
Exactly. Yeah, it really did. And just so smooth, and the way the stories were, like all the Seven Samurai, was so good.
Yeah, man, this is a game of the few years for me.
I've just been playing Apex to decompress here and there. It's the only shooter I really play.
Well, Devin, like I said before, you're doing a great job. I really appreciate what you're doing for this Cerulean project and everything else you advocate for. So thank you so much. Like I said, I appreciate you coming on, finally being able to talk to you. Let the listeners know what the Cerulean project is. I'm trying to get that out there for people to go ahead and support. You guys need to check it out. It's really amazing. The merch is awesome. The book's awesome. Everything you're doing is great. So thank you.
You're welcome, man.
We will go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you so much. This for everyone listening. Thank you guys so much for the support. And we'll be on next time.
Later, guys.